GAA on Off the Ball.
Second weekend of the Super 8, the Croke Park weekend, or the neutral venue weekend. We could get into that debate, but I fear it may take up the next half an hour. Enda McGinley is on the line. Evening, Enda.
Evening, all.
Peter Caffrey is in studio alongside me. How are you keeping?
Great form.
So Saturday evening, the doubleheader, Cork against Tyrone at 5 and then Dublin up against Roscommon at 7. And on Sunday, it is do or die for Mayo and Meath at 2 o'clock. And that will be followed at 4 by probably the most anticipated game of the weekend between Donegal and Kerry. We'll get to that. But really, the only story in town this weekend is, are we going to see Jeremy Connolly on the bench, on the pitch at Croke Park? What do you know, Peter?
Maybe Enda knows more than I know. I would think he won't be on the bench. I would think he was back at training last Sunday morning. I would think, you know, Jim will very much go on what he sees in front of him. It would be a huge ask for Dermot to have impressed so much in 3 training sessions.
Do you think he's only had 3 training sessions? You don't think that there's many conspiracy theories out there, but one is that maybe he's been involved all the way along and that Dublin had worked this out to just release him at the right time of the summer?
No, I think that's probably taken it a step too far. No, look, I think Dermot was USA bound. He'd made that decision. That fell through, so there was another decision to be made then. And, you know, obviously Jim has thought about it long and hard, and they've come to the conclusion that, yeah, A, he can add value, and if it's right for Dermot and he wanted to come back in, well, why would you not take him back in? But will he make the bench this week? I think he probably not. Mm. But I would expect to see him, that, you know, at this stage of the season, bring them back in. I don't think they were bringing them back in to make up numbers. I think they were bringing them back in to be an X factor, whether it be, you know, in a semi-final, presumably to get there, or obviously if they go on into a final.
Would you have brought him back in?
Absolutely.
You don't see a potential downside? Like, I think back to last weekend, we were up in Donegal and we were talking to Kevin Cassidy about his fallout with Jim McGuinness, and they met up again afterwards, and McGuinness potentially offered them the chance to go back in, and Cassidy felt, as a player, he looked at what Donegal were doing, thought they were flying, and thought that he may just disturb things somewhat and decided actually it's not the best thing for Donegal. You don't think there's any possibility that these players have trained for 6 months, look at Connolly and think, everything Jim Gavin talks about, we are giving special treatment to someone?
Yeah, look, you have to look at the history of this present squad. Some of them have moved on, but Dermot Connolly's handprint is all over this Dublin team. I don't think it's a risk. I don't think it's a gamble. He has been playing continuously with his club. A lot of the season he played at centre back with St Vincent's. He came on as a sub as recently as last week and scored 2 goals. This fella is one of the best footballers that we've ever seen. You know, he's still in his early 30s. He's kept himself in great shape. So, no, I don't see a downside to it at all.
And you had the situation in Tyrone where Stephen O'Neill was parachuted in, was it just a couple of weeks before an All-Ireland final? Obviously, yeah. Much like Jeremy Connolly, a legendary figure. Was that received by everybody in the squad as a positive, or was there a player looking over his shoulder thinking, I'm the guy who's going to drop out of the 15, I'm the guy who's going to drop out of the 26?
The person at that time who was probably struggling in terms of his place in the team and for a wee bit of form and so would have been most vulnerable to Stevie O'Neill coming back was Owen Mulligan. And I remember the meeting clearly. It was Muggsy then. Everybody was sort of talking. And I was thinking about the Stevie O'Neill thing just as you were talking about, Connolly. For a lot of us, we had All-Ireland medals in our pocket thanks to some of the performances that Stevie O'Neill had put in. Some of them Dublin players are in a similar situation because Dermot had a massive, as Pillar was saying, Dermot had a massive say in a couple of them early All-Irelands. So players don't forget that. I think it's all about how Dermot has carried himself and how he is as a fella amongst that squad. If he's somebody that's all about limelight and somebody that's all about himself and it's the story about Dermot and all of that there, then I don't think them players would have taken him back in. But nothing that I've seen from the outside, I'm not claiming to know him well, but nothing that I've seen from the outside would suggest that Jeremy Connolly is that sort of player. In fact, it would almost appear he's anything but. He sort of prefers to shun the limelight. I don't think he enjoys all the hype and all the story about him. I think he'd just prefer to quietly get on with football. If that's his personality, I think the boys will remain loyal to him. And so for me, the team meeting might well, if there was a team meeting, like in Tyrone, I think it would have followed a similar thing that, look, he was part of our group. that group is sort of sacrosanct. You never forget the bonds that you make together, because you come through a lot of tough times, and that Dublin team did back in the day where they were trying to make their name. And as I say, Dermot was part of that. So having been part of that and formed them bonds, then them boys will always be open to one of their old men coming back in again. And I think Dermot has always conducted himself. It's not the story about Dermot. The media and everybody else outside it makes it the story about Dermot more than any actions from Dermot himself. He's remained completely quiet, despite the fact that if he had wanted to, we would have been talking about nothing but him for a long time. So I think them actions from Dermot makes it a lot easier for him to come back into the squad and makes the players happy to bring him back in, because bottom line, he has done an awful lot for them in his time as well.
And for pretty much everybody on the outside, it's an absolute guessing game as to when Jeremy Connolly reappears, whether it's 10 minutes against Tyrone or whether maybe Jim Gavin has a moment in mind, much like the 2017 final against Mayo, that actually maybe he doesn't need Jeremy Connolly at all, unless a moment crops up in an All-Ireland semi-final or final, that he needs that touch of class, that extra little bit of an X factor of the unknown. Do you think Jim Gavin, being so meticulous, has a good idea right now of when Jeremy Connolly plays?
No, but I think you're absolutely right. I think it's just, you never want to have regrets. And the ultimate fear for Dublin would be to miss out on this five in a row. Jim Gavin won't say that, but to miss out on another All-Ireland title and a historic five in a row, and maybe just at that critical moment where they're really under pressure, just feeling that on the bench, there's not that star turn that he can turn to, just somebody to really change that dynamic, to unnerve an opposition who's really putting it up to them, to raise the fans. And just at that critical moment, if he doesn't have that, he would look back and regret if Dermot is there and has made motions to sort of that he's willing to come in and take part, and that he's playing at a level that he is useful. The big thing for me, and Pillar touched on it too, Jim Gavin has always stuck very much to players on form or playing, and you hold your jersey until anybody else gets a chance, and there's very much a pecking order. Everybody looking in from the outside can only imagine the intensity of them Dublin, say, AVB games if they do go down that route. There's a huge depth of really high-quality players. So Dermot to come in and suddenly go above them players would sort of go against what Jim Gavin has set up, and yet you have to fast-track him. You can't You can't expect to throw him in when it really matters in an All-Ireland final, if that comes to pass. So I think if Dublin are cruising through the rest of this year, which they might, it's a bad thought, but they might do that, then I don't think we'll see Dermot Connolly. But I think if their backs are to the wall, we will see him. But Jim Gavin knows he can't expect a player to come in, say, in a hypothetical situation, the All-Ireland final with 10 minutes, 15 minutes to go, without having given him a wee bit of game time earlier. So he might have to bend some of them rules to fast-track Dermot up through and get him back in at county-level pace so that he's ready come that emergency sort of parachute moment that Jim Gavin says, no, we need something different here, and who better than Dermot to bring on.
Pillar, can any of those Dublin subs have reason to feel aggrieved if Jeremy Connolly is parachuted in front of them when you look at the opportunities they've been getting off the bench? The feeling seems to be that there hasn't been, as Enda said, that X factor, that clinical player coming on, that game changer. Like, when you look at that bench, it doesn't seem like a vastly different bench to the last couple of years. Is there just a bit more age on them? Are they just showing signs of a bit of fatigue creeping in?
It's a pretty young forward line now. The forward line that's been lining out, like Howard, Cormac Costlow, Niall Scully, Kieran Kilkenny, Paul Mannion, Conor Callan, all these guys are 26 and under. So there's no father figure in it. Like, you know, the great line of Dermot Connolly with Paul Flynn at 10 and 12 were probably the best we ever seen in them positions for Dublin. Paul Flynn's gone. Bernard Brogan is obviously not making the impact down there to get back into the match day 26. So, you know, is there an X factor now? Cormac Costello was that X factor last year. He pushed himself into the first team now. I think he's probably done himself a bit of harm with his performance against Cork. Dean Rock was injured, so I can see that reverting. So that leaves you with Cormac as the X factor now. Whether his confidence will have been dropped a little bit with his performance against Cork, we only wait and see. If he's had a good week in training this week, I expect that change to be made for Saturday night. But then, you know, the other subs, as we say, that have been coming in, you know, Paddy Andrews. You know, got his jaw broken earlier in the year. I'm sure he was out of football for a good while. We have Owen O'Gara, who hasn't got any game time on the bench, and Paddy Small, again, another young fella, a lot of hamstring problems, has got a few minutes, and Jim obviously sees something in him. But again, if you have a fit Dermot Connolly coming in who can play any of them front six positions, particularly in the half-forward line, which is the very hard line, and Dermot has this ability to give a killer pass.
Well, if you think back to that one moment of the 2017 final.
And that hasn't gone away from him. Like, he's been doing that at club level continuously, for, you know, and anybody who's seen Dermot playing in club football is raving about his performances. So it's not as if he's gone away and, you know, it's a big gamble. I don't see it as being a big gamble at all. I think the players might be looking over their shoulders, but you know what? They all know that this is not about this year. This is about this moment in time. They will never get a chance of doing a five in a row again. Mm. And if this passes without having every line being exasperated in terms of trying to be the best they can be, if they look back at it with regrets and said, we didn't bring Rory O'Carroll back in, we didn't bring Dermot Connolly back in, they'd have regrets. I don't think there'll be any regrets now.
Just on the players that have actually played then for Dublin this year, and Jack McCaffrey is probably a shoe-in as it stands for Footballer of the Year. He just seems to get better and better for every game. If you're Roscommon and you're Anthony Cunningham and you're in desperate need of a result going to Croke Park this week, and you're thinking, is there any way, Enda, of negating the influence of Jack McCaffrey? Have you seen teams do it? Is there a way of stopping McCaffrey?
It's very, very difficult because not only has he the lightning speed that he always had, he's a massive strength now. He's a much physically stronger player. Like, in two of them key attacks he sort of set up, he obviously scored the goal in the first half, which was the Dublin lifeline against Cork, and even the goal that started the route in the second half was again McCaffrey's making. And in both times, he was in very tight physical contact, and it wasn't his speed that got him out or caused the opposition the problems. It was his physical strength. So speed alone is something that it's almost impossible to counter against, and he's now got the speed and the strength to go hand in hand. So he's very, very difficult. The classic thing for the wing half back to try and put a wing half back on their back foot is to put a really threatening half forward on him. That half forward needs to have a huge engine because McCaffrey still needs tracked. And then the critical thing is, as McCaffrey showed after that goal, whenever he was punctured, and it was great to show he was human and punctured, he was waving other players back to cover him, is that forward then needs to cause some sort of damage of their own up the other end. The difficulty, Dublin are so well organised, they are so mobile as a unit, they are consistently moving around, and that time whenever McCaffrey found himself up the pitch and out of gas, he waved, and I can guarantee you whoever he was on was picked up and all of that was immediately brushed over. He was never exposed. So, no, it's very, very difficult to think what Roscommon do to try and curtail his particular influence.
Donegal Kerry, probably the most anticipated game of the weekend. The winner is all but assured of a place in the All-Ireland semi-final. That throws in at 4 o'clock on Sunday at Croke Park. Kieran Donaghy was on OTBAM this morning for his Shot Clock segment, which you can catch every Thursday. You can get it on offtheball.com. He thinks that the kickouts are going to play a big role in this game, and that Sean Patton can cause Kerry a lot of problems.
Donegal are going to pose so many different problems. Donegal are so sharp on the restarts, it's frightening. What they're doing a lot of is they're hitting Murphy. So if Donegal are in blue, they're back defending, and we know like they like to defend in numbers. Okay, they know they like to get bodies back, and they leave Jamie Brennan and Paddy McBrearty up front, and they'll interchange as well. But what they do is when they get back here and Kerry are the Reds and Kerry have a shot, you'll see Michael Murphy will start heading out the middle the minute the ball goes wide over the bar, and he'll start heading away out here. Patton has, who's been brilliant, he's a real plus factor. Patton has the ball down, and there's a few things they're doing. The first thing they're doing is they look if Murphy's got a load of space in here either side of him, and these two guys are working in tandem, Ryan McHugh. So he's looking, Ryan McHugh right in this position, is looking at Michael Murphy, he's looking at Patton, and numerous times the last day, he was pointing to hit Murphy long. And this is what he was doing, hit Murphy long, because he was in a good position to come off this here. And we've seen him do it before. We saw him do it to Dublin in 2012. It's not something new, but they're really good at doing it. They're really good at understanding when the right time to do it is. And they always seem to, like three or four times against Mead, they spotted this opportunity. They nailed the execution of the kick. And Murphy's so good and so strong at holding his man off and getting a little run and tapping it to Ryan McHugh that's coming off his shoulder here. Murphy taps it, McHugh is gone. It's open sesame. They should have got probably a goal or two late on against Meade the last day.
Meade just fouled him a couple of times in that occasion.
Yeah, they did.
OTBAM brought to you by Avantcard, powered by MasterCard. It's back on air on offtheball.com from 7:30 tomorrow morning. Looking at the kickouts pillar, it's going to be fascinating because one of the most interesting aspects of Kerry's win over Mayo was how Kerry figured out the Mayo kickout and put so much pressure on David Clark and allowed David Moran to have this real dominant role in midfield. David Moran's presence, does that change Donegal's kickout strategy, or did they just move Murphy deeper, move him to a different part of the pitch?
Yeah, it's fascinating because, like, to me, Murphy is pound for pound the best player around at the moment. He can do it every way. He can go in full back line, catch balls under his own crossbar. He's available at kickouts. We all know he's a fantastic kicker of the ball. His strength and his passing is phenomenal. And then from dead balls, he's also brilliant. So he is the father figure of that team. And he's, you know, when the chips are down, he's doing it. I think the last day, 36 possessions. You know, crazy stats.
Well, the Meade coach, Colm Mainelli, was on a Meade podcast this week and he was actually very honest. He said, I'm not saying Donegal are a one-man team, but they're the closest team I've ever seen to a one-man team, when he was on about Michael Murphy.
He's just phenomenal. It will be very interesting now. Kerry don't have Aidan O'Mahony available anymore. Like, the job he did in him, man-marking him in the All-Ireland final. Murphy's playing a much more central role, but Kerry obviously have to give him attention. He is the fulcrum of that team. He's the one that... He is the engine room. It's not that he's in the engine room. He is the engine room. So who are Kerry going to put the man mark him? Because he's so influential. The kick-out, the Donegal kick-out has been phenomenal this year. You know, he really has nailed it. And when you have someone like Ryan McHugh with the energy and he gambles, and again, he's another player that has to be a man mark. So it will be fascinating. David Morden has his best game ever for Kerry the last day out. And then, look, everybody's excited about the wonder kid, Clifford. Mm. Like, every time we see him, he's delivering. And he's just... I think the problem for Kerry is that they can't get 30 balls into him per game. I think he's only 16 possessions the last day. But so much is coming off him. But he's just beautiful to watch. He's very easy on the eye. And again... He's in for a different baptism on Sunday afternoon. You know, when Donegal get their hands on him, we'll have a real view of how good this young Kerry team is. And you know, watching the last day, they're phenomenal the last day. They just put Mayo to sleep, really. Mm-hmm.
And looking at that kick-out strategy from Sean Paton, like, it's wonderful to watch how it all clicks into place so quickly. As Kieran was saying there, you get the nod from McHugh, he goes long to Murphy, who just knocks it on to McHugh, who's one of the fastest players in the game, who's onto the ball like lightning, and everything just seems to open up for Donegal from there. From the Kerry point of view, is it simply a case you put David Moran on Michael Murphy and you back him to win that one-on-one battle?
No. I think the Michael Murphy-Ryan McHugh combination is one that really sticks in people's minds, because it's so clearly a sort of a predefined move that the players know about. But I think Donegal won 90% of their kickouts against Meath, and the vast majority of them were long. So a 90% stat when a team is giving you your kickouts is nothing to write home about. But Meath weren't doing that, so that it becomes then quite a phenomenal stat. But it's not just about Murphy. The problem with Donegal, they have Jason McGee, Hugh McFadden, Kieran Thompson, that and Murphy. They have four men above 6'3" across the middle of their pitch. So Murphy is the director general in there, he's the boss man, but them other men are having phenomenal seasons and playing phenomenal ball. They're all obviously younger than Murphy, but they are massive. So Donegal essentially put a string of exceptionally tall men right across their midfield, which means they are going to be dominant. So take Kerry, obviously you've Moran, who was stunning the last day, but that was on a mismatch or a mismatch on Vaughan. But Kerry can decide to put Moran and Murphy, but then them other men will just catch ball for fun. So Donegal is exceptionally difficult. The bigger thing is the loss of Owen Van Gallagher. He was part of the real brains working the short kick out, because any team that just is bombing long kickouts the whole time, the other team will crowd them out and just physically go to town on them out around the middle. But it's the movement of the Donegal, it's the movement of that Donegal defence to get lots and lots of shorts away. Movement of midfield that it can go direct and be fetched in the middle. And then the biggest killer of all, which is Kerry are looking as if they like to push up. They're pushing that extra man up and doing the modern sort of high press. Mm. But Patton has a kick out that goes 70, 80 yards. It is phenomenal and it is pinpoint. And it goes over the top where he lands it on the 45 and men are running on to, towards the opponent's goals. It is the sheer range of Patton's kickouts. And the problem is, it's not as if most goalkeepers, you can judge, is this long or short, because they're either a long run out, a long run up, short run up, and whatever. Patton, two steps back, and it can go 80 yards or it can go 18 yards. And that's exceptionally difficult for opponents to shut down. When you match that with the Donegal brains and their big men across the middle, it gives them a mighty, mighty weapon. The loss of Owen Ban Gallagher is the only fly in the ointment in that particular section of the game.
And if David Moran then isn't going to have quite the mismatch as he had last weekend, and there's going to be any amount of big men putting him under pressure, if he doesn't get the freedom, and like his range of passing last Sunday was exceptional, but he seemed to always have plenty of time to pick out his passes, would you have any concerns about Kerry being able to get the quality of ball needed into that full forward line if Donegal can get on top of David Moran?
The midfield battle will certainly, there'll be more pressure in that middle third, but as well as that, Donegal, you've seen what they've done about an effective full forward line whenever they play Tyrone. They swamp the defence, so Hugh McFadden will sit right back in. Probably Frank McGlynn, if he's on as well, will sit back in. There'll be a couple of additional men in. The one difference to playing Tyrone were all about Cathal McSheehan. Kerry have obviously Clifford, but they've Ganey in there as well. And they've men coming from deep. They've Stephen O'Brien coming really hard. So Tyrone that day really were quite dependent on McSheehan, especially when Petey Hart went off. Kerry will be able to produce a more varied threat, both the running game and the direct ball to the full forward line. But Donegal will go back to what they do, which is to swamp that defence with men. It's a game plan they know well. They haven't been doing it as much. They conceded big scores against Cavan. They conceded big scores against Meath, and even the Tyrone scoreline that Tyrone ran up that day, and Tyrone weren't playing particularly well, was fairly effective. So Donegal have a slight issue in terms of their defence. Kerry, in fairness, answered a lot of them questions in their last game against Mayo, where their defence was surprisingly good. Really, whilst the forwards were obviously brilliant and Moran was brilliant, it was the defenders for most people that have been looking at Kerry over the years and their performance there that really sort of certainly grabbed my attention. Donegal have still a few questions in that regard, but I would assume we will see them dropping back in big, big numbers.
Yeah, lads, we got to wrap it up. Thanks a lot for coming to Studio Pillar. Enda, great stuff. As always, we'll have full coverage of all those games over the weekend. GAA on Off the Ball.